The Last Days of David.
Then all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each went his own way. And Adonijah feared Solomon, and he arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar.
You may come forward, Benaiah.
Long live the king!
You have been to the tabernacle?
I have, your majesty. And I found Prince Adonijah, David's son, there, holding the horns of the altar, thus claiming the right of protection.
At the same time, such an act also admits having committed a deed worthy of death, and therefore a need for sanctuary. You brought him back with you?
Yes, your majesty. He's in the outer chamber now, your majesty, awaiting the granting of an audience.
Scribe, bring Adonijah before me.
Prince Adonijah to see Solomon, king of Israel.
Come forward, Adonijah.
Long live the king.
Our father David suggests that I deal kindly with you. Do you think you deserve any consideration after what you have done?
I submit myself and my fate entirely up to you, O king.
Then you acknowledge that I am king.
Father David chose you, so did God. You are king.
Well, I am going to pardon you, Adonijah, upon one condition, that henceforth you live as a private citizen, and that you live quietly and submit wholeheartedly to the new regime. If you commit any act of wickedness, the pardon will be withdrawn.
I bow myself in submission to my king. May he live forever.
Go now to your own house, Adonijah, but remember the conditions of the pardon. If you break those conditions, your life will be in immediate jeopardy.
I understand, your majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king.
Joab and Abiathar, though worthy of death, were also spared by Solomon. Now that the conspiracy had been crushed, David requested that a general assembly of princes, leaders, and valiant men of the nation be called to set before them the project of building the temple and to formally place Solomon upon a throne. Because of David's physical weakness, it was not expected that he would attend. But the inspiration of God came upon him, and he was able for the last time to address his people.
Princes, elders, leaders, ministers, and valiant men of Israel, David, our king.
My dear people, children of Israel, chosen people of God, I am old, stricken in years. Soon I go the way of all flesh. No longer am I your king. Instead, my son. Hear me now, my brethren. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and I made preparation for the building. But God said to me, "You may not build a house for my name, for you are a warrior and have shed blood. Solomon, your son, shall build my house and my court, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Now therefore, my people, observe all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it to your children after you forever."
David now pauses and beckons to his son, Solomon. He is coming forward. Apparently, David has something he wishes to say to the young king.
Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. The Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it.
As David finishes addressing his son, the court scribe comes forward bearing a scroll. David receives the scroll and now places it in the hands of Solomon. The scroll contains the plans for the new temple which David himself, under the inspiration of God, has drawn up.
My son Solomon, whom God alone has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. The gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, bronze, iron, wood, besides great quantities of onyx and all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver. My dear people, who of you will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord?
There is a great stir among this vast assembly. Without a moment's hesitation, leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, commanders, officers, and heads of families, all are bringing forward their offerings of gold, silver, precious stones, and other materials, bringing it joyfully, willingly to the service of the Lord their God. Holy Scripture reads, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and all the assembly worshiped the Lord. And on the next day they offered burnt offerings to the Lord, and they ate and drank on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him prince for the Lord. Then Solomon sat on the throne as king instead of David his father. Now when David felt that death was approaching, the burden of his heart was still for Solomon and for the kingdom of Israel, whose prosperity must so largely depend upon the fidelity of her king. And David charged Solomon, his son, saying,
My son, God has been good to me. From a humble shepherd lad, God made me ruler of his people for these 40 years. But you, my son, will be a great king. Be strong, show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in his way, keep his statutes, his commandments, that you may prosper in all that you do.
I will, Father.
Solomon, my son, there are a few things I would talk over with you.
Will your strength permit talking?
Yes, for a little. But I'm tired now, my son. I must rest for an hour. Come back, and then we shall talk some more.
Gladly, Father.
First of all, Solomon, my son, I wish to speak of various people who have served me and played an important part in my life. Chief among them is Joab, my commander-in-chief and nephew. Joab is a rough man, uncouth, outspoken, merciless, unscrupulous. He's a talented general, a natural leader of men. He obeys or disobeys my commands at will. He openly joined in Adonijah's conspiracy. He slew Abner and Amasa in a time of peace, not war. Act, therefore, according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to the grave in peace.
I will follow the advice of my father.
While we were in Gilead, the sons of Barzillai showed me great kindness, took care of me and my family. So let them be among those that partake of the hospitality of the royal household. Let them eat at your table and forever receive royal consideration.
I promise, Father.
I wish to speak of Shimei the Benjamite, a distant relative of King Saul.
What of him, Father?
It was he who cruelly cursed and heaped insults upon me in my house when I fled Jerusalem before Absalom. He considered me an usurper to the throne, thinking that he or a closer descendant of Saul should be king. Apparently, he thought I had been permanently dethroned, because when I returned triumphantly to Jerusalem and the throne of Israel, Shimei came to me and professed repentance. He begged for forbearance. I forgave and spared him, promising in the name of the Lord never to take his life by the edge of the sword.
His repentance was false? An expedient method of saving his life?
Watch him closely, my son, for I believe him not guiltless. You are a wise man, my son, and you will know what you ought to do to him. I'm very tired, son. I must rest.
Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Great had been David's sin, but deep was his repentance, ardent his love, and strong his faith. He had been forgiven much, and therefore he loved much.
The Three Transgressors.
Shortly before his death, David instructed his son Solomon to deal wisely, yet severely, with those who were not loyal to his kingdom. Solomon, though kind-hearted and long-suffering, did not hesitate to take swift action against disloyal subjects. One day, soon after Solomon became king, the queen mother, Bathsheba, had an unexpected caller.
Good morning, Mother Bathsheba.
Prince Adonijah, what brings you here? Have you come peaceably?
Peaceably?
Sit down.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Just what is the nature of this call? Or are you upon some errand?
One petition I have to ask, and deny me not, Queen Mother.
I cannot promise.
King Solomon will deny you nothing, for you are his mother. Therefore, I pray you go to the king and request that he permit me to marry Abishag, who ministered unto David before he died.
Do you love Abishag?
Well, she is young and beautiful. I love her very much.
Well, I see no reason why she should not become your wife. I shall take your request to the king.
Thank you, Your Highness.
So Bathsheba made the request to King Solomon. And when Solomon heard this, he said to Bathsheba, his mother,
"So Adonijah wishes Abishag for his wife. Well, why did you not also ask for Adonijah half of my kingdom?"
"You refuse to let Abishag become the wife of Adonijah?"
"I most certainly do."
"Why?"
"I know you meant no harm, Mother, but this is a plot of treason, a plot to unseat me from the throne of Israel and give it to Adonijah."
"Why, Solomon, I didn't know."
"Oh, of course not, Mother. But you can be sure that General Joab and the priest Abiathar are with Adonijah in this treason."
"But how? Why?"
"If I were to permit Adonijah to marry Abishag, it would be an admission that he is the rightful king of Israel. The people, realizing this, might rally around Adonijah, especially the army, and make him king. My life and yours and anyone who stood in his way would be endangered."
I still don't understand, Solomon.
"During the last years of the life of my father, King David, Abishag ministered unto him as his nurse. She would therefore be regarded as one of his wives. By custom and practice, the wives of a king, when he dies, pass on to the new king. By allowing Adonijah to take Abishag to wife, I would..."
"Yes, I see. Then it was a plot against you, Solomon, and me, the people of Israel, even God himself."
"Lords, princes, members of my court, know you that Adonijah has this day plotted to the destruction of his own life. Now, therefore, as the Lord lives, which has established me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house as he promised, Adonijah shall be punished for his wickedness this very day. Benaiah."
"Yes, Your Majesty."
"Take a company of your troops and find Adonijah, and then punish him. You know the punishment for treason."
"Yes, Your Majesty." "Long live the king."
"Scribe, send for the priest Abiathar immediately."
"Yes, sir."
"The king."
"You may arise, Abiathar."
"The king is very kind.
As chief priest of Israel, you should be above treason and plotting against a dynasty established by God himself. Are you with Adonijah in this treason? Your silence is an admission of guilt. Treason against the throne is punishable by death. But you have done much for David, my father. You helped him on many occasions. You were a lifelong friend to him. Therefore, I shall be merciful and spare your life. Nevertheless, you shall be deprived of your office of chief priest and sent home as a common citizen. Zadok shall be priest in your stead.
For many years, Joab had served as commander-in-chief of David's forces. During the early years, he had fought faithfully by David's side. But on a number of occasions after David became king of all Israel, Joab proved himself disobedient and disloyal to his king. Now that Solomon was on the throne, Joab knew he might be called to account for his crimes against David.
General Joab?
Yes, boy. Come in. Who sent you and what do you want?
Sir, the king has ordered Adonijah executed.
Adonijah?
Yes, sir.
What for?
Treason, sir. King Solomon ordered Captain Benaiah to execute Prince Adonijah yet today. He has also removed Abiathar from the office of chief priest.
Solomon wastes no time. Thank you. You may go now.
Yes, sir.
What was this all about?
Well, my dear, it seems that Adonijah was trying to secure the throne of Israel by stealth instead of force. If he could marry Abishag, who ministered unto David, it would indicate that he had a legal right to be Israel's king. So, feigning love for Abishag, he persuaded Bathsheba to ask Solomon for her hand.
And Solomon saw the real motive of the pretended love for Abishag.
Evidently.
And what part did you have in this underhanded attempt to seize the throne?
None, actively. I approved. I stood by Adonijah's side along with the chief priest Abiathar.
Solomon saw through Abiathar's approval of Adonijah and has already punished him. You will be next.
How can Solomon possibly connect me with Adonijah? I've said a word to no one.
Did priest Abiathar?
No.
See how wise Solomon is. He may not connect you directly with this latest attempt to steal the throne, but he does know you are a dangerous man, unscrupulous. He knows that you gave approval to Adonijah's attempt to become king, and that you have also committed crimes against David when he was king. That makes you guilty of treason against the throne, a crime punishable by death.
There's nothing I can do about it, even though all you say may be true.
You can flee to the safety of the sanctuary. By clinging to the horns of the altar, you are safe until a regular trial is held by the elders.
Well, such an act would be an admission of my guilt.
You are guilty, aren't you?
I suppose so. Legally. Yes.
Then hurry, before Solomon has time to have you arrested.
Long live the king!
Yes, Captain Benaiah?
Word has just reached me, Your Majesty, that General Joab has fled to the tabernacle for sanctuary.
I suspected he had a part in Adonijah's secret rebellion. Now I know it. This act of Joab's proves his guilt. Captain, hasten to the tabernacle and fall upon Joab that he die for his act of treason.
May I remind His Majesty that the tabernacle is a place of refuge for those charged with crime.
All crimes except willful murder.
General Joab is guilty of treason, not willful murder.
Then we shall charge him with willful murder.
General Joab? A willful murderer?
Yes, he murdered Abner and Amasa. Willful, premeditated murder, both.
I shall go at once to the tabernacle. Long live the king. Greetings, General Joab.
Greetings, Captain.
You look well, General. Not very happy, but well.
Let us not play games. What do you want?
You, General.
Me?
I want you to come outside the confines of the tabernacle.
To kill me?
To punish you for crimes. The punishment of which is death.
I am guilty of no such crimes. You wish me out of the way so you can take over my position as commander-in-chief of Israel's forces.
It is the king's command.
I have no sword or weapons of defense.
You have no defense of any kind for your crimes.
I will stay here, clinging to the horns of this altar. If you dare, Kill me here. Tell His Majesty King Solomon that.
Do as he says, Captain. Punish him while he holds the horns of the altar.
But is not such action against the law of Moses, Your Majesty?
Quite the contrary, Captain. The law of Moses specifically states that those in power, along with the people of the nation, shall be held accountable for the shedding of innocent blood until the offender be punished. So do as Joab himself said. Fall upon him at the altar and bury him, that the guilt of shedding innocent blood may be taken away from me and the house of my father. Then shall the blood of Abner and Amasa be returned upon the head of Joab and his house, and there shall be peace forever from the Lord.
So Benaiah went up and fell upon Joab and buried him in his own place in the wilderness. And King Solomon sent and called for Shimei and said unto him,
Crown Prince Adonijah and Commander-in-Chief Joab have both just been punished for crimes of treason against the crown.
Yes, so I heard, Your Majesty.
Are you, or were you, against or for Adonijah, the Crown Prince?
His Majesty knows as well as anyone else that I am an adherent of the House of Saul and a bitter foe of the House of David.
You must admit, then, that it is wise for me to keep a close watch on you and your activities.
Meaning what, Your Majesty?
Simply that if given the opportunity, you might attempt to place the House of Saul back upon the throne.
His Majesty is very wise.
After what you have done, heaped insults and curses upon David while he was king, even threw rocks at him, lied and cheated and joined forces with anyone and everyone who was against the house of David. After all that, it takes no special wisdom to take precautions against you.
His Majesty has in mind?
I am going to give you another chance. I shall not harm you or any of your family, but I am going to restrict your actions. Just outside the east wall of Jerusalem is the brook Kidron. And just beyond Kidron is Bahurim.
Bahurim is where I live, Your Majesty. My home.
And it is there that you have the greatest influence and the best opportunity to stir up trouble. It is because of this that I now forbid you to go to your home or even to cross the brook Kidron. You shall build an house here in Jerusalem. Send for your family and live in it, where I can keep a watchful eye over you. You are ordered never at any time to cross over the brook Kidron. If you do, that moment the sentence of death will be pronounced on you. Your blood shall be upon your own head.
We can never go home to Bahurim again?
This is now our home.
But we were born in Bahurim. Our relatives and friends are there, our flocks and our sheep. Everything we have is there. Must we sell our home and possessions and live here forever?
Oh, no. You can go to Bahurim. Our servants can remain there and run the farm. You can go any time to see your relatives and friends, and they can come here. You're short 22 sheep?
They strayed away, Master.
Find them. Bring them back. Be quick about it, or I'll have you flogged 22 lashes with a metal-tipped whip.
Yes, Master.
Shimei, weren't you rather hard on him?
Hard on him? He's taking advantage of my absence. They all are. I should have had him flogged here and now within an inch of his life. Well, my dear, we've lived here in Jerusalem for 3 years now. How do you like city life?
I like it. Something's going on all the time. Places to go, bazaars, the marketplace, things to buy. Exciting things to do.
You like it better here, then?
Oh, much better. Back in the country, there was always work to do, and...
Master, Master!
You? What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Bahurim, taking care of my interests.
I had to come, Master, to report 2 servants missing.
Servants missing now? Well, the servants... missing?
They ran away to Gath and joined force with Achish, king of Gath.
They did they? Well, they won't stay there. I myself will go and get them. Oh, they'll be sorry they ever ran away from me. The saddle amount for me. I go to Gath at once. You will go along.
Yes, master.
Welcome home, Shimei. I've been lonely and worried. Did you find the two runaway servants?
Of course I did. And they'll never run away again. You can be sure of that.
Shimei, do you realize that in going to Gath, you crossed the brook Kidron?
Yes, but surely King Solomon won't mind. I went merely to regain some of my own personal property. In no wise can my journey be connected with a conspiracy against Solomon or his throne.
Well, I hope you're right. Ever since you went, I've been worrying and fretting lest the king and his... Who can that be?
Nobody. Just a neighbor, probably.
Shimei, I am the royal scribe.
Yes, I recognize you. Why is my humble abode honored by the king's scribe?
Shimei, King Solomon, long live the king, wishes to see you. You are to come with me now.
No, Shimei, you've done nothing wrong. The king must understand
There's
that.
There's nothing to worry about. His majesty probably wishes to see me on business. Seek my advice. Give me a position in his court. Oh, just don't worry. All right, scribe, lead the way.
Long live the king.
Shimei, did I not forbid you to cross over the brook Kidron?
Yes, your majesty, but I went to Gath because I...
You will speak in his majesty's presence only when spoken to.
Yes, sir.
You crossed the brook Kidron?
Yes, your majesty.
You swore unto me by the Lord that you would not cross the brook. And I told you that the day you did, if you ever did, that day the death sentence would be pronounced upon you. Remember?
I remember, your majesty.
You know, Shimei, all the secret wickedness that is in your heart. You are aware of the evil things you did to David, my father. Therefore the Lord shall return your wickedness upon your own head. Benaiah, take Shimei out and fall upon him and bury him.
With the burial of Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei, the three transgressors, and the removal of priest Abiathar from power, the danger of conspiracy against Solomon and his throne, against Israel and Israel's God, came to an end. And the kingdom of Israel was firmly established in the hand of Solomon.